Are you ready? All righty. Let's take our Bibles. The ready light isn't on. Help us out. All right. Are we ready? We're ready. You guys need all the help you can get. We'll straighten it all out in just a minute. All right, you've got your Bibles. We've got a couple of passages I'd like you to turn to. If you turn over to Psalm 37, some of you won't need to because you know it already, especially if you're red. But if you turn over to Proverbs 4 as well, Proverbs chapter 4. In case you get too comfortable, why don't we stand as we read? We're going to start with Proverbs chapter 4. In verse number 20, we read, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And then we turn over to Psalm 37. In Psalm 37 we read, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Who directs your steps? Who directs your steps? "And he delighteth in his way." What do you delight in? "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word would challenge us today. We ask that you would stir our hearts, give us a heart and a desire to set our course on Christ. We ask, Lord, that you'd challenge any unsaved here of the goodness of God and the love of Christ and the need for salvation. And Lord, of each believer, we ask that you'd move us to embrace the reality that God's will is always good. We ask that you'd move us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The year is 1939. What's taking place? The beginning of World War. In 1940, the world moves its eyes to the stage which is off the land and into the Atlantic. Now, the Germans and the British have taken the war to sea. It's the battle for the supremacy of the sea. Now, the Allied forces were under the guidelines of a disarmament treaty. It meant that they had limitations on the extent of how big a warship could be built. The Germans didn't play by the rules. The Germans built bigger ships. The Germans ignored the boundaries. And they built a ship they called the Bismarck, with the name, or following the name, of the German Chancellor, who was Otto von Bismarck, for what it's worth. And he had been the Prime Minister of Prussia, had organised essentially the state of Germany, and only 50 years before this time. At this point, the Bismarck was the largest battleship ever built. It was, in fact, 22% larger than the largest of the British or the American warships. It displaced 42,800 tons. It got to a speed of 31 knots. It was bigger, it was larger, it had more guns than any other ship in the water. It had some 8 15-inch guns, and it had some 80 smaller guns, of which were said most of them were anti-aircraft guns on board. This was a game changer. The Bismarck was made to win. It is said that it had the potential to single-handedly destroy the British fleet. And Hitler's intent was exactly that, that he would destroy the British fleet. Now, they had to get out there into the main ocean from where they were hidden. They came through the Strait of Norway, and as they attempted to break out into open waters, there was the Bismarck along with the German ship, Prince Eugen, and they both came out for the beginning of operations. They were intercepted by a Royal Navy ship from the British fleet. Their endeavour, as the Germans, was to stop any ships that were going from Great Britain through to the United States to intercept and destroy whatever they found. Well, they just happened to be found by the largest, strongest ship in the British fleet. It was the, what have we got? The HMS Hood, a British battlecruiser. It was the pride of the Royal Navy. They found them. The battle lasted only a few minutes. The Hood was sunk after only firing a number of shots. The British Prime Minister, then Winston Churchill, issued the order, sink the Bismarck. The Bismarck had stronger walls, better protection, more guns, higher speed, greater size than any other battleship in the water. The Bismarck was made to win. And they were ready to destroy everything in their path, to have liberty and opportunity to take the world. I want to suggest to you this morning that God has put in your hands, if you know the Lord Jesus, everything you need for spiritual victory. God has set you up with better armament, better capacity, greater strength, greater ability by God to have spiritual victory in your life. God wants the very best for you. Do you agree with that? Not really. If God be for us, who can be? If God be
for us,
if God be
for us,
who can be? The Bible says he is able to present you before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God has established that Christians can have the greatest, most effective life of any person here on earth. You are, to all intents and purposes, as the Bismarck was, made for victory. Are you enjoying it? Are you seeing it? The devil, of course, has his oppositions of those things. The Hood will come along. You may say, I have enjoyed great victory, knocked out the Hood. The top is gone. It only gets easier from here. You know, God would say to us that every area of your life can be an area of victory. Any of the things on these boards, oh, with the exception of just a couple of things. Let's forget the gap year. That's a year of excuse for being out of action. That's pathetic. That's the world's ideals that says, go and enjoy life. Let's forget that. A couple of those things we can write off. But God wants you to have spiritual victory. Scripture says of your personal walk with God, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And God says you can have victory in your spiritual walk, in your personal quiet time. And that would become evident in your life as your quiet time. God says it can be effective. He says if you take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What about your friends? God can give you victory in your friends that you choose. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. We can have a profitable friend life. They might not live near you. They might not be your age. They may not be your hair colour, but they can be good, faithful friends given by God who are going to encourage you in Christ Jesus. You can have good and godly friends. We can go through any number of areas. Matthew 6:33, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and shall be added unto you. God's going to take care of you. You don't need to worry about those things. What are we going to do for work? Oh, I don't know. Well, God will take care of that. When first things are first, God's going to deal with things. Psalm 100 and verse 2 tells us this, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with. What we see there is a fruitful and abundant desire in serving God. Serving God can be enjoyable. Now, you've memorized a verse this week, and it said something concerning the will of God. It's the first verse on your sheet there. The will of God is three things. Can you tell me what they are? They're good. That is, they are in and of themselves. The will of God is good. It is innately good. It is then, what was the next one? Acceptable. I think that means it's pleasing to God, don't you? God would be pleased when you're in his will. And you would be pleased when you're in his will. Do you think when you're in the will of God and God is pleased, you're going to be pleased? Yeah, absolutely. If you're not pleased, you're not in the will of God. There's something amiss there, just a little bit. Good, acceptable, and perfect, complete, fulfilling. You know, there's going to be that fulfillment. You know, one of the things that we seek in our lives is genuine fulfillment. People have to have done it all because they're looking for a sense of fulfillment. When it comes to finances, they've got to climb up to the top of the ladder. They've got to get to the highest point in their workplace or their career because they want to attain. They're looking for fulfillment. They often say when they get to the top of the ladder, it must be leaning against the wrong building because nothing changes. There's no fulfillment in those things, but if the will of God is fulfilled in our lives, there will be fulfillment. It is the perfect will of God. There is going to be that sense of completion being in the will of God. It is good, it is acceptable, it is the perfect will of God. God wants the very best from you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? No. You see, that's where our problem lies, is that we doubt that God wants the very best for us. Well, Bismarck was